Beloved, we are glad to have you join us for this sermon. We pray that it inspires you, draws you closer to the knowledge of God, and builds your faith. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, we say thank you. Once again, we are here to hear from you. Lord, speak unto us. Make everyone have an encounter that will make their destiny to count. Let this service answer to its name. And let everyone live here blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody will say a bigger amen. Put your hands together. Let's comfortably take our seat in His presence. I would like to appreciate God and His servant in the house for the privilege granted me to bring unto us the teaching for this second service. Our prophetic focus still remains: financial fortune is my heritage. And in our teaching series, we are looking at gateways to financial fortune. Gateways to financial fortune. Financial fortune is part of our redemptive package. Redemptive package. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Revelation 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." So riches is mentioned clearly over there. So this is our redemptive package. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Let's get that on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Verse 7. "Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now look at verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." That will be your testimony from today. But we must know that a passionate pursuit of God and the interest of His kingdom is key to a world of supernatural abundance. Passionate pursuit. Going after God. God's kingdom begins to reign in your heart. That is the key to a world of supernatural abundance. That is the key. Look at Job chapter 36, verse 11. Job 36, verse 11. "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in what? And their years in what? If not a choice. If they obey, not only obeying, but serving him. It is present continuous. So as long as you are obeying and you are serving, your days on earth will be full of pleasure. If they obey and serving. Look at Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. "Thou shalt rise, have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has finally come." Why will God favor such an individual? Verse 14. "For thy servant taketh pleasure in a stone. Favor the dust thereof, so shall the hidden fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth the glory." So serving God and the interest of His kingdom with one's resources is gateway to a world of financial fortune. Serving God with your resources. Look at Psalm 34, verse 10. Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, what happens to them? They that what? Seek the Lord. Not they that are seeking for money. Not they that are seeking for wealth. But they that they continually seek the Lord, they shall never lack any good thing. Hear me. Lack and want has finally come to an end in your life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom and his what? Righteousness. You are seeking first and you are doing things right. What men are struggling to get, I, the Lord, I will be adding them to you. But hear this. God will only entrust true riches into the hands of those he can trust. Take this. True riches can only be entrusted into the hands of those that he can trust. Now the question is, can God trust you? Can he trust you? The true riches is only in the hands of those that can God can trust. And how will God trust them? Those riches first will be used to promote his kingdom on earth. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Luke 16, verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit into your trust the true riches? Hear this. Everything that you and I have came from God. Everything. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness what? So every resources, every blessing that you and I are enjoying is from the Lord. Now look at Psalm 50, verse 10. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon the thousands hill. I know all the fowls of the mountain. The wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the word is mine and the heart. So you can't give to God. You give for your own breakthrough. When we recognize God as owner of everything, you become a faithful steward in anything that God gives you. When you realize that he's the owner of everything, anything he places in your hand, you become a faithful steward. The reason why you are not faithful, you think that thing belongs to you. Hear what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 from verse 11. I want us to understand that we are only stewards. We are not owners. We are stewards. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is thy greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty of all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as a head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Look at verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now let's all read verse 14 together now. Let's go. But who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we heard. When you realize nothing belongs to you, Gratitude replaces pride. Gratitude. When you realize that nothing belongs to you, the reason why you are proud is because you think that thing belongs to you. The reason why you are too proud to give your house as a WSF center, you think the house belongs to you. But it didn't come from you. The reason why you are proud is the reason why you think that your car cannot carry anybody to church, because it is yours. But if you know you are a faithful steward and is the owner, you will replace gratitude with pride. You replace gratitude with pride and stewardship with ownership. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou didn't receive, why dwell thou glory as thou hast not what? Receive it. So whatever you have came from him. Everything in your hand came first from God's hand. And if you can understand this, I trust God that you will be breaking through financially in every area. You are not an owner, you are a steward. Somebody say, I'm a steward. God is the owner. We are simply his steward. Simply steward. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. Moreover, it is required in steward that a man be found faithful. By found faithful. The greatest steward is the one who never forgets who the true owner is. That's the greatest steward. He never forgets. Now this scripture will help us to appreciate where we came from and where we are now. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 11. Look at this. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statute which I command thee this day. Let's go on verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and build goodly houses and dwell therein. Can you see? God expects us to have goodly houses. He expects us to eat very well. He expects us to do very well. But hear the instruction from verse 13. And when thy herd and thy flock multiply, that is breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough. And the silver and thy gold is multiplied, and thou hast he multiplied. Can you see? God wants to multiply you. He wants to advance you. He wants to favor you. But look at verse 14. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of where? Bondage. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fierce serpents, scorpions, drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the water of the rock? Can you see? Every step he ordered you. If you can trace where you came from and where God has positioned you, you will see that you are not the owner, you are a steward. The reason why you are not acknowledging, you have seen yourself as the owner of these things. Look at where you are. Now you are eating 3 square meals. Before then, one was a challenge. You came from a family that they meant that nobody would rise. But here you are. You did not only rise, you flew from the in a plane. I don't know whether you came with a plane or you came with, whether you came, you still landed over here. If you know the orchestrations, even in the air, they try. Some of the turbulence are not normal. They are not normal. But in the shaking, he shook himself to order yourself and to bring you here into a land flowing with milk and honey. Somebody clap for Jesus. Now that you are drinking money, you are drinking milk. When I remember in boarding school, when we open milk, we use the cover to seal it so we can have it several days. Whether it go wrong or not, we don't care. As long as you can add something to it, you add it to it. But then you buy one milk, you pour everything.
you throw the bottle away. Has God not done you very well? Now you are drinking full milk. You see yourself as owner, not a longer steward. You came from somewhere, and God has positioned somewhere. I pray to God, may you not forget his blessings upon your life. May you not forget him as the owner of your life. Look at verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he must humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. Now verse 17, let's all read it together with understanding. Verse 17, let's go now. And thou say in the heart, my power and the mind of mine have gotten me. God forgive us. It's not your power. It's not your mind. That's why when you go to verse 18, it says, but thou shall remember the Lord thy God. For it is what? Thou hold. To get what? Who giveth thee power? Who giveth thee power? And that power there means he gives you ability. He gives you idea. He gives you wisdom. You are operating at the frequency that nobody can match you at that company. You think it's by your mind. No, God gave you that wisdom. That's why I say, thou shalt not forget. May we not forget his good hand upon our lives. So if we are not forgetting, what are we expected to do? As a steward, we must fulfill the responsibility of what the owner demands from us. Now the question is, what is a covenant? Because we mentioned that in Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. It's a deal enacted by God based on well-defined term and sealed with an oath. A deal enacted by God based on well-defined term. And what is a covenant now? Let's go to Genesis 8 verse 22. Genesis 8 verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, cold, winter, summer, winter, day and night shall know what? Seed. So the covenant is what? Sowing and what? Reaping. Sowing and reaping. And that is what we have been instructed. Sowing and reaping. Now the question somebody may be asking, which we are going there very soon now. Why God blesses? Why do God blesses? The anchor purpose of wealth in the kingdom is for advancement of the kingdom of God. God blesses us primarily to be blessing first to the kingdom and then to the world around us. That is the reason why God blesses you. He took care of you in a flight from where you came from because he wanted to work through you. He wanted to be a channel of blessing. So every blessing of God upon your life must flow through you. That is the essence of God's blessing. Look at Haggai chapter 1 from verse 3. Haggai 1 verse 3. That speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord unto Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O Israel, to dwell in your sea houses? Oh, this house lies in waste. Now, consider your ways, says the Lord. Consider your ways. Now, look at verses now. You have sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages and put it into a bag with holes. That says the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Says the Lord, because my house, that is waste. And you run everyone's own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from a fruit. Because you have neglected my house. Because you have not pursued after my interest. I am blessing you to be a blessing. Not to accumulate, but to be a distributor. That is why God blesses. Look at a story in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Let's look at a king that decided to just take ownership of what does not belong to him. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in abundance of what? Things which what? He possess. It does not base on things that you possess. But let's look at the story of this guy very well. Now look at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Can you see? God always wants to bless us. But let's see what the blessing is meant to be. Verse 18. And let's go. And he said, this will I do. Now, emphasis on the I. You can't count how many times eyes are there. So many of them. I will put down my barns, build greater. There will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. Let's carry on. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much good laid out for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and what? Flying all around from Dubai to Qatar, Qatar to Namibia, Namibia to Ivory Coast. There is nothing wrong to enjoy all those flights because God wants you to do well. But the question is, are you advancing his kingdom? Is his budget inside what he has given you? Now put it back. Let's finish it quickly now. Let's see where we go to. Luke chapter 12, verse 17 or so. Now let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 quickly. Go back to verse 17 now. He said, and he taught himself, saying, what will I do? I'll have no room where to bestow my fruit. Carry on. And he said, this will I do. I'll put down my barns, build greater one. I'll bestow all the fruit and my goods. Carry on. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast many good laid out for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and what? Be merry. Now look at verse 20. And God said unto him, thou fool. Thou what? Why was he fool? He has taken ownership of what belongs to God. And he said, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now look at verse 21. So is he that lay up treasure for himself. And it's not what? And it's not what? Can you see? I. No kingdom emphasis. Everything pertains to him. God said you are a fool. So if you are here, you are hearing me. It's me. I want to do this. The Bible says you are a fool. It's not me. The Bible says you are a fool. Because you are rich. He has blessed you not to be accumulator, but a distributor. Imagine you are eating every day, and you are not giving out. What will happen to you? You'll be a living corpse. You'll die very soon. Because you are eating, you are not giving out. Don't be accumulator. Be what? A distributor. Every blessing upon your life is to reach out to mankind. God will not bless anyone in the kingdom beyond his commitment to promotion of the kingdom on earth. And God will not bless anyone beyond his commitment to blessing the needy around us. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have what? Many a curse. The poor are always around us. Around us. Do you have any budget for the poor? We are in a system that even the Christians even make people more poorer than the people in the world. They make people more poorer. Somebody comes to you for a need, you see that as an advantage to take advantage of that person. He came to you, he didn't have. But I say, bring money, I'll give you something, but you will not work. You are even making more poorer. But is that what the Bible teaches us? Look at something over here. The secret of Job. In Job 29 verse 4. Job 29 verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of the Lord was upon my tabernacle. Now let's jump to verse 11. What was the secret? When the ears heard me, then it blessed me. When the eyes saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cry, the fatherless, and him that had none to help. the blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Verse 15, I was eyes to the blind, feet was I to the lame, I was father to the fatherless or to the poor. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is he that withholdeth more than a meat, but it turneth into poverty. The liberal soul shall be made what? Fat. So the poor is always around us. I like Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. Let me read that so that you know what you are doing, that is you are doing for Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came into me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick in prison and came to him? Look at verse 4. And the king answered and said unto them, well, very well, I say unto you, inasmuch you have done it unto one of the least of these brethren, you have done it unto me. May God give us grace to be there to help the poor. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. They shall never cease. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, to the needy in the land. So we are not meant to be a blessing to them. Let me read these two scriptures that will help us so that we can, these two scriptures, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. Proverbs 19, verse 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despises his way shall die. Verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor and then unto the Lord, and that which he had given him, he will pay him again. How would God pay you? Psalm 41, verse 1. Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be a blessing upon the earth, and thou shalt not deliver him unto the will of his enemy. The Lord shall strengthen him upon the bed of what? Languishing. Now we are going to read Proverbs 21, verse 13 together now. Put that on the screen for us. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Now, let's go. Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. That will not be you. I said, that will not be you. So, in your budget, factor in the poor. They call you for school fees from home, the insult that you will hurl at them. They don't want to call you again. If you don't have, just tell them it's not factored. Next month, we'll see what we can do, or we can see what we can do. But you don't need to insult them. The poor will never cease from the land. They are always around. But they are a covenant channel for your own breakthrough and for your own lifting. I trust God that God will embrace us. I say God will embrace us. One of the channels of the covenant requirement is tithing. Tithing. Somebody say tithing. Tithing. God has blessed you. You were a tither before. Now you have listened to some nonsense on YouTube and they are confusing. They say it's no longer tithing. God forgive you. The truth is always the truth. No matter who says it, they can't go against the truth. Now all those who were confusing you, go and trace them. See where they are now. Go and look for them. You'll find them. A bona fide person. Hear me. Tithing is one thing that believers, you cannot escape. It's one thing that avert all curses. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. Wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and in offering. You are cursed. Look at verse 9. You are cursed with what? For you have what? Even what? Anybody not tithing, you are under financial curse. I'm telling you from today. It will never be well with you financially. That is scripture for you. The only bailout for every child of God is your tithe. The tithe is 10%. It doesn't belong to you. In the first place, God doesn't need your money. He wants to see how faithful you are. He gave you 9. He said, give me 1. Is God not a good God? He should have taken 9 and given us 1. But say, let me give you 10. Just take 9 and give me 1. And if you are finding it difficult to give 1, you can encounter his blessings. I tell people, don't celebrate when you pay tithe because it's not your money. Why is it not your money? Look at Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or of the fruit of the land, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the land, of the head, of the flock, of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be what? Holy unto me. That is why you pay tithe, you don't give tithe. You pay it. You pay insurance. Am I right? When you pay in car insurance, do you testify over here? Why don't you testify? Because that money is not for you. If you don't pay your insurance, wait until the police catches you. You'll be fined more than what you were meant to pay. If you rob God, God will look for you. And anybody robbing him is under a curse. You pay your electricity bill, you don't give. Giving means it's yours, you can choose. But you pay it. If you don't pay it, the credit agency will catch you. And you see how your credit will go from green to red. And very soon when you are looking for credit, they will tell you, you own somebody this year. You have not settled that payment. Go and pay it before we can credit you again. Please, tithing is what brings out under the covering. Look at Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It opens the windows of heaven and releases the blessings upon us. Look at Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes. It did not mention offering. Into the storehouse. That there may be what? Meat in my house. And prove me now hear it, says the Lord. If I will not hurt. And what? And there shall be not. No. So it triggered the release of blessings from heaven. Anything coming from heaven can never be frustrated by the devil. From today, your financial status will be taking a new turn. Your dignity financially will be restored. Every curse against your financial giving will be broken today. So, looking at breaking your generational curse, generational curses are invisible in nature. They are invisible. They can affect your finances. And one thing that you need to watch against, when you are not tithing, you will come under the curse of the law. God himself takes over. And it begins to disorganize your finances. Look through and look around. Those who have despised it have never recovered. But today, the solution has finally come. As you take practical steps to do what is required, you see God at work. Every curse today will be broken. Curses often manifest in same negative trend, running down one lineage, such as hereditary disease, failure, depression, marital crisis, miscarriages. Anytime you see a negative pattern, please don't watch it. Confront it. Don't watch it. People get married and they divorce and it is running through. It's a cause. And if it is not addressed, it can go on for 400 years. 400 years. 400 years. People are not making progress. They work so hard, but nothing is coming in. It's a cause. But today, by the blood, every curse will be broken. I say every curse will be broken. Your family history may explain some of your struggle, but it doesn't determine your destiny in Christ. Today you have escaped. Declare to yourself, I've escaped. Declare to yourself, I've escaped. Declare that confidently. But when one is born again, he becomes a member of God's own family, which is immune to curses, spells, and enchantment. When you are born again, you have escaped. If you are born again, you have escaped. Numbers 23, verse 23. Surely, there is no more enchantment against Clement. I thought you put your name now. Numbers 23, verse 23. We are going to raise that now. Quickly, put that on the screen now. Numbers 23, verse 23. Now, put your name now. Let's go. Surely, there is no enchantment against Clement. Neither is there any divination against his household. According to this time, it shall be said of Clement and of Israel, what God has wrought. The God of this commission will strike in their camp. Anyone holding anyone marital destiny into disgrace, today your liberty has finally come. Ephesians 2 verse 9. Ephesians 2 verse 9. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So in Christ, your family history no longer has the final word. You have changed family now. I say you have changed family now. I say you have changed family now. You have moved from darkness into light. So whatever being the trend in that family is sourced from you. You and your family, you will not suffer that shame again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Christ has redeemed us. Somebody say, I'll be redeemed. He has redeemed us from all curses of life. Now the good news is, all generational curses are reversible. I say they are reversible. Whatever that they have placed upon your family, you are coming out this afternoon. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made what? A curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now let's read verse 14 together now. Verse 14, Galatians 3, verse 14. Put that on the screen. Let's go now. Galatians 3, verse 14. Let's go. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So your family history is no longer your finances. Today, God is ushering you into the realm of your new family, where curses can no longer reign. Colossians 2 verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Every handwriting contrary to your new status against you will be rewritten today. When one is saved and remain in faith, he or she is free from all curses. Somebody say, I'm free from all curses. Declare that confidently. So salvation brings you and I under the blessings of Abraham. Under the blessings of Abraham. While salvation secures believers from curses, serving God and the interest of his kingdom is what sustains us under the blessing. Do you know the reason why some people, when they come out, the curse still follow them? Salvation will bring you out. But what will sustain you under the blessing is serving God. Somebody say, I will serve God. Somebody say, I will serve God. Look at Exodus 23, verse 25. Exodus 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord. And he shall hold. Bless thy bread. Bless thy water. Take sickness away from thee. There shall nothing cast thy own, nor be buried in the land. Your number of days, what will happen? Can you see? All those mentioned over there. He said, you shall bless your bread, your water, sicknesses. All those things are curses in nature. Because sicknesses can run through the family line. It can run through the family history. It can be diabetes, high blood pressure. But he said, when you serve me, I take responsibility. Those sicknesses, I take them out of your way. So from today, whatever kill others will no longer locate you. Whatever destroy families will no longer destroy you. Somebody say, my family lineage has changed. But you must remain serving God. Serve God. Serve God. That is a secret. Anytime you are serving God, you have committed God's integrity to bring to pass his act in our life. In addition, we must engage the following in breaking the curses. The blood of Jesus. Somebody say, the blood of Jesus. So by the blood today, every generational curse will be broken. Generational curse will be broken. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 11. Zechariah 9 verse, and for thee also, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. Somebody, your liberty has finally come. Your breakthrough has finally come. Everyone in church this afternoon should expect all curses, generational, diabolical, be broken of their life today. Be broken of their life today. No more delay in your family again. Marital crisis come to an end. Financial difficulties come to an end. Sickness come to an end. Hereditary diseases come to an end. Let your amen show it. Matthew 15 verse 13. Every plant which our Heavenly Father has not planted in your life, they will be uprooted. Whatever he has not planted in your family, they will be uprooted. Today is the day of deliverance. For surely there is an end. Somebody say there is an end. Every of your expectations shall never be cut off. Today an end has come to that struggle. An end has come to that delay. An end has come to that frustration. Every marital crisis come to an end. For somebody, you and your family, you are delivered. You are set free. Rise to your feet and begin to appreciate him now. Give him all the thanks. Give him all the thanks. Now declare to yourself, we are free. 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 He says, surely there's an end. My expectation shall never be cut off. Somebody make that declaration. I am free. My family is free. My family is free. No more delay. No more crisis. Every generational sickness, they are uprooted right now. Make that declaration. Don't mind the one standing by your side. Make your own declaration now. Make your own declaration now. Make it now. Make it now. Father, we say thank you. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
We are going to engage the communion very soon. God's servant will be coming in a minute. Today, they will regret tempering with your family. Because the vengeance of God will visit their camp. Anybody that will not let you go, they will go down for your sake. Anybody holding your marital destiny, they will go down for your sake. God is in a hurry to settle you. And I believe God for you. You will live here celebrated. You will live here celebrated. In the name of Jesus Christ. But look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Put that on the screen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is first begun to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by him that heard? How shall we escape? So your escape is your pathway to your recovery. Until you are safe, you are not safe. You are not safe. God wants to start with you. Your rescue today will bring deliverance to your entire family. You are here. You have no connectivity. You have no relationship. You are the cause of that challenge. But your relations today will cement your glory in his life, in his world. With our eyes closed, with our head bowed, wherever you are, say, Jesus, I need an encounter with you. My life has never been as it should be. I neglected you, but today I want to reconnect back to you. With our eyes closed, head bowed, lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift it boldly. Lift it boldly. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it boldly. Nobody's looking at you. It's between you and God. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Quickly lift it up. Lift it up now wherever you are. Make it higher so that I can see you. You have lifted up your right hand wherever you are. Take a step of faith. Come to the altar now quickly. Come to the altar now. God is in a hurry to settle you and your family. Take that bold step now. Nobody's looking at you. Take that bold step now. Come to the altar now. Come to the altar now. Come to the altar now. Church, celebrate them as they take that bold step. Take that bold step now. Come to the altar now quickly. We are waiting for you now. We want to pray with you. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Take that bold step now. Wherever you are, you lift up your right hand. You need that personal touch, that personal connectivity with Jesus. Take that bold step wherever you are. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now be ready for the release of the blessings. Today, you are living here with your testimony. Every forces against your life, they'll be humiliated. Your testimony has finally arrived. This week, you and your family will be celebrated. Now put your hands together, make it bigger.
We believe you were blessed by this sermon. For more messages like this, you can join us at Winners Chapel International, Birmingham. Call us on 0121-622-1662 or email us at info.birmingham@winners-chapel.org. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again next time. Jesus is Lord.